It's Bulldog Live here on The Pulse, 1-866-823-1077. Talking in this hour a lot about Northern Pass, and that being because there was a big hearing at the State House yesterday, and we have some people joining us in studio who were there, Russ and Kathy Johnson from Columbia. Now we're joined on the telephone by another gentleman who is there, someone who we've gotten to know, heard a few times from on various issues, Rick Sampson, joining us from Stewartstown. Hi, Rick. How are you today?
Well, not bad, Brian. Not bad at all, thank you.
Well, say hi to Russ and Kathy. They're right here in studio.
Well, I wished I was there with them. It's 31 degrees and snowing like heck up here.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning,
Russ and Kathy.
I'll take the snow over the rain, because as I posted on my Facebook page last week, I'd rather shovel snow than bail water.
I agree.
Good. So, Rick, you were at the hearing yesterday, too.
Yes, I was.
Tell us about it.
Well, I've been to a number of hearings in Concord in the last 3 years by various committees in both the House and the Senate. This probably was the most attended hearing I've been at. I thought that the response was extremely civil by the opponents of the proposal. I was a little concerned with some of the methods used by the opponents, but that's by the proponents of the line, I should say. You have been discussing the height of the towers. One thing that has not been either revealed or keep hidden from the public is that the height of the towers is not so much related to the topography of the land as it is to what the towers are going to carry. And what has failed to be mentioned is these towers are not only going to carry DC power, but also AC power.
On the same tower?
On the same tower, and you need a certain height requirement between the two voltages. And,
okay.
You know, Northern Pass is not making this known to people. That's one of the biggest reasons that the height of these towers is as such.
Well, I'm glad you pointed this out, because that's been a question of mine, and I think this came up in recent, either this week or last week, and that was where the existing rights of ways are, where there's the AC power lines. How are they going to make how wide would they have to make the right of ways in order to accommodate this? So you're telling me they might have to take down the AC power poles that are there now and put them on these 135 foot tall towers.
That is a possibility, but in the northern part of the state, the reason they want the AC and DC on the same towers is because of the wind farms that they have proposed for the entire village of Pittsburgh. And the only way they can get that power south is on the same corridor, conduit, or whatever you would like to call it, along with the DC power. We have recently discovered also they are considering making this a bidirectional line, which they are not telling people. At that hearing yesterday, Northern Pass did not disclose any new information, did not answer any questions that have been previously asked in the last 4 months, not only up here in the North Country, but below the Notch, Holderness, Campton, Rumney, all the way down through. They have completely neglected the alternate route, which runs through Littleton, Monroe, and down the Connecticut Valley side.
Let's Rush Johnson jump in on this. He wants to make a point.
Thanks, Rick. You're absolutely right on that. And I think that what you have to realize, along with what you're saying, is that once we allow a corridor for the Northern Pass, that this corridor will become the conduit for any and all future power coming down through the state or up the state or whatever transactions these private companies want to have, regardless of the fact that they will tell you that the only thing they want to do is run a DC line down there that's obviously not in the long-term plan. And all they have to do to change that plan is to change the rules later on and hope that all of us that are in opposition have died by then or gone away.
I agree with 100% with that statement, that is their intent. Their intent is not being made public now. And one of my issues with the hearing yesterday was that they were allowed to present their side of the case and some of their testimony, as is some of our testimony, did not relate specifically to the two bills that were on the table.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking, Rick, when you were saying that they didn't provide a whole lot of new information or the like. They were there to testify on these two bills. So, what did they say about the eminent domain? They, of course, being Northern Pass, were not happy with the possibility of House Bill 648 passing.
No, they seem to try to convince the committee that if this bill is passed, that it would eliminate all private companies from trying to do business in this state, which was, you know, totally unfounded and untrue. That was not the intent of the bill at all.
Actually, the language of the bill spells out very specifically who it's targeted at.
Yes, it does. Exactly. And that was the point that we were not able to get across to the committee. Some of the committee members were very attentive, very professional. They asked some good questions and not so good questions. But the point that I'd like to make is that I just felt the hearing was... you might say filibustered by the proponents, and they were allowed to do so. I think perhaps the students anticipated a little different hearing, but they got an education. They were allowed to speak. They were allowed to participate, and I appreciate that very much, as did the students, and I think the committee did as well. I think it was very good in that respect. On the other hand, it appeared to me as I sat there and watched that more time was given to the utilities than it was to the people that were there. I mean, you know, some of us drove for 3.5 hours to get to that hearing yesterday, and it appeared that this committee didn't seem to care about that. And I did bring up in my testimony that we were there on our own time and on our own dime, which means we paid to come down there.
Well, let's let Russ Johnson hop in here, too.
Okay. Yep.
Well, I think one of the things that came out of that was that even partway through the meeting, Public Service Company left. All the people that spoke on their behalf left the meeting. They did not hear the students speak. And I think actually the prime spokesperson for Public Service walked out during the students' part of the presentation. So there was a good few hours there that I'm not aware of anybody that was there from Public Service, and definitely not anybody that was there that had spoken before during the earlier part of the meeting.
I brought that to their attention, and I said that, you know, we were almost required to sit there through their presentations because they were given the opportunity to speak, and yet when we were speaking, they just got up and walked out, which was very obvious and very inconsiderate and unprofessional, in my opinion.
I agree.
Not being a paid lobbyist and not being on their payroll, that did concern me. I mean, as I said, I have been attending hearings for 3 years now, and yesterday's hearing was impressive, if not to say the least. I mean, the amount of people, not just from the North Country, but people from the Plymouth, the Rumney area. Plymouth had a busload of people there. People from the seacoast, people from Orford, from Keene, from the entire state were there. And this is an issue that runs from the Mass border to Pittsburgh. It is not a North Country issue. It is not a NIMBY issue. This is an issue, as Tom Thompson put it, that will come up in the next elections. And it will be probably number one or two topics in the state and in the country as well with a presidential candidate. I'd like to just add that the scoping meetings that they're having are very important for people to go to. If you did not sign up to be a speaker, that is not a problem. You may still go and you may still speak and you may still submit written testimony. And the meetings are very important. The schedule, one of the things that I did not get to tell that committee yesterday is that Northern Pass has enlisted some of our own state representatives to submit bills that would make this project possible. They have scheduled the hearings to make it inconvenient. The next important hearing that is going to be in Concord is the 17th of March, which is next Thursday, and that hearing starts at 9 a.m., in order for North Country residents to attend that meeting, we will have to leave the North Country no later than 6 and probably 5:30 a.m. to be at this hearing.
Okay, well, with that, Rick, I'm going to have to get going here. So thank you very much for telling us about this. Again, I want people to check out my website, briantilton.com. Click on the Northern Pass page. You can see when those public scoping meetings are coming up next week for the Department of Energy. Franklin, Pembroke, Colebrook, Whitefield, Plymouth, Haverhill, and, well, there's more. So, but check it all out. Rick, thank you very much. Good chatting with you.
Thank you, Brian, and have a good trip home, Russ and Kathy. Thank you.
Thanks,
Rick. All right, and we'll continue the conversation with Russ and Kathy Johnson as well, and we'll give you some results of town meeting yesterday on this issue, where it did come up by vote. So we'll talk about it here, 1-866-823-1077. Bulldog Live continues on the Pulse.